Yeah. It's beautiful, but it's going to be completely destroyed. Annihilated. Now one stone left upon another stone. And they're sort of shocked by that. When they get a private moment, they come up to him and say, "What are you talking about? The temple where you're going to reign as king is going to be totally destroyed? You're here. You're the Messiah. You keep talking about being going away and being crucified. What do you mean?" So they're asking about the destruction of the temple, and he tells them, they're asking three questions, really. When is this place going to be destroyed? When is all of this stuff, this system, they actually use the word age. When is this age going to end? And when are you going to come back and reign as king? When are you going to set up your kingdom? Luke gives a very, very detailed answer. Jesus answer to question number one. It's fulfilled literally in 70 AD. The fulfillment to question number one really clouds the believers' understandings of Jesus' answers to question number two and three for centuries. Until 1948. The destruction of the temple, answer to question number one, being literally fulfilled, clouds the answers to questions number two and three, because questions number two and three are answered with reference to a temple and a state of Israel. Until 1948, we haven't really understood. It's been kind of confusing. But now we can look at his answers to questions two and three with crystal clear clarity. Jesus prophesies in Matthew 24, which is the backbone for this series that we're going to go through. As he's prophesying, he brings in this illustration of labor. And there's an obvious progression, an obvious increase in intensity to Jesus' answers to the signs of the times. Through his illustration of birth pain, we've looked at deception, and we've looked at war. And today we're going to cover three. I need you guys to have your thinking caps on, because I'm going to go, bam, I'm going to give you a whole lot of statistics, and you're going to be like, oh, you're dulling me with statistics. Okay, just chill out. Think about what you're hearing me say. Think about this. Deception. From 1 in 100 years all the way to 100 in 100 years, all the way to 100 named, identified people claiming to be Jesus Christ, or the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ, as we sit here in this room. That's amazing. And it looks like this. Remember? Numbers over here, centuries over here, and it just scoots along, increases, and then off the charts. Off the charts. War. From 5 major wars historically recorded by cultures, civilizations, every 100 years, to the 18th and 19th century, when there were approximately 20 and 25 wars in 100 years, to the 20th century. How many of you were born in the 20th century? Some of you are like, there's only a couple, three, four in here that weren't. Think about that, 5 to 20, 25 to the 20th century when there's 50. 50 wars in 100 years, major wars, the bloodiest century in human history. Two of those wars were really driven by ideologies and philosophies. Two of those wars engulfed not just regional places, but the entire world. Every nation, every world power involved at war one time. The first resulted in the loss of 20 to 25 million people. The second resulting in the loss of 60 million people. The second one ended with the use of nuclear weapons, And more intriguing, the second ended with the birth of the nation of Israel. Gone for 18 centuries. And there it is again. And as we speak today, there are over 65 nations involved in formally declared wars and ideological wars without borders. 715 militias, terrorist groups, anarchy groups, guerrilla groups, 715 of them waging war, some of them formally declared, without borders, revolving around ideologies like ISIS. Again, it looks like this. As you put your numbers over here and your centuries this way, a little bit of an increase here, but hit the 17th, 18th, and 19th, 20th centuries. It's off the charts. It's just off the charts. So listen to the text again, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" And this is one of the saddest verses. "And will mislead many." Think about that. There are millions of people today following these false Christs, thinking he is their Savior. "And will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. 4. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all of these things are merely the beginning of birth pains." Now, some translations of Matthew 24:7 include the word pestilence or plague. In other words, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes, or famine, plagues, and earthquakes. Our most reliable manuscripts of Matthew do not include the word plague or the word pestilence, but some of your translations put it there. It is probably because our most reliable manuscripts of Luke include that word in Jesus' answer. Luke 21 reads like this: "Then he continued saying to them, 'Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and in various places, plagues and famine.'" So we have two Gospels recording Jesus' answer. One focuses here, one focuses there. So today we're going to look at three things. Are you ready? Three things: plagues, famines, and earthquakes. Plague or pestilence, famine, and earthquakes have always been considered what? Judgment. Always. From the Old Testament, Egypt, 10 plagues, right? To the New Testament, we see the centurion. Now the centurion and those who were standing there with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. I mean, judgment is coming. Jeremiah and Ezekiel used the phrase sword, plague, and famine many, many times to indicate judgment from God. Isaiah 29 reads this way: "From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder and earthquake, and with loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest, and the flame of a consuming fire." Talk about global warming. Flame of a consuming fire. Modern science has effectively erased the understanding of judgment from God. Judgment from God is gone. In fact, Peter, when we're studying 2 Peter, he's saying, they're going to say, there's been no judgment. Flood, what are you talking about? Judgment from God. No, there's no coming judgment. What are you talking about? They've erased it. It seems as though the ability to measure pressure on tectonic plates has diluted their understanding that God is sovereign and God is in control. And God holds this world together, the elements, by his power. They've forgotten it. But this is only a recent phenomenon of ignorance. This is only within our lifetimes, basically, that the idea that this is judgment has gone. For all times, in all cultures, plagues, pestilence, famine, earthquakes have been understood as a judgment of the gods or the judgment of the one true God. While modern science has harmed our understanding of God's intervention in humanity, it's also enhanced our ability to accumulate statistics, to know what those statistics and records add up and look like together. Cultures have always been pretty good at recording their society's events, haven't they? They've been pretty good at recording their heroes. They've been pretty good about recording their villains. They've been pretty good about recording their wars, especially the victories. You know how we hear about the society's defeats? Most often, they don't record it, but the ones who defeated them recorded it. You know, we won, they lost, you know. They're pretty good about recording those things. They're pretty good about recording their disasters. Cultures have been pretty good about recording their famines, their plagues. They've been pretty good about recording their storms, their earthquakes. And we've been blessed, I can't believe I'm saying this, we've been blessed with the advancement of modern technology to accumulate these things and look at them together. So let's look at famine. Famine, first one. Of course, we're aware of various local, regional famines in Bible times. What's the most famous famine you know of in Bible times? Joseph. Joseph finds himself second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt, and his brothers and father come and saves the family from famine. There was a 7-year regional famine that Egypt was prepared for because God intervened. There's a 7-year famine. Several times we're told that God brings famine upon this land or that land. Several times he brings famine upon the nation of Israel for their idolatry, their adultery. Okay? There's a famine that was recorded in Rome. In Rome in 441 B.C., huge famine, devastated a fledgling nation, really set them back, almost as if God was saying, not yet, hold on, okay? Let's look at the period of time from the life of Christ to our own day. Famine from the time of Christ to our time. For about the first 1,000 years, cultures and historians record about one major famine in a century. Cultures and historians. One major famine in an entire century. Now let's jump up to the 11th century through the 15th century. The number increases slightly to 5. So you've got 1,000 years of one or two here or there. You get up to the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th century, and you get to 4-5 major famines devastating certain regions. This includes the 11th century 7-year famine that killed 40,000 people in Egypt, an 11th century famine and plague that killed 100,000 people in France. Most of you remember this one from your historical studies, high school, for those of you who have to go back, you know. But the Great Famine of Europe in the 14th century that went from east of Russia all the way to south of Italy and had millions upon millions upon millions of people who died. That's a multi-country, multi-nation empire famine that wipes out many, many people. We get to the 17th century. The 17th century, there's a very sharp increase. We've gone from 1 per 100 years to 5 per 100 years. In the 17th century, to 15. 15 major famines in 100 years. 2 million people died of starvation in Russia. 2 million people died of starvation in France later in the century. Finland and Estonia lost major portions of their population. 20 to 25% of their population died from famine in the 17th century. In the 18th century, we jump from approximately 15 now in the 18th century to 20 and 25 major famines. Tunisia lost 20% of its population. Prussia lost 40% of its population. The Czech Republic lost hundreds of thousands of people due to famine. Earlier in the century, early on in the 18th century, India loses 2 million. Later in the century. Later on in the 18th century, they lose 11 million people. So India alone loses between 10 and 15 million people in that 100 years. In the 19th century, we jump from 20 to 25 to 30 major famines, estimating, listen, in the 19th century, estimating 85 million deaths to starvation. 85 million deaths around the world in one century. In the 20th century, most of us were born in the 20th century, you jump to 90 million deaths. 90 million people wiped out due to starvation. Listen, because of the devastation to the land and to the population in World War I, because of the low workforce coming out of World War I, famine was rampant. The land was not necessarily farmable like it had been, and there weren't enough people to farm the land they had. And so much of Europe is just caught by famine right after World War I, to the degree that many of the countries involved with World War I exempt farmers, young, strong, military-aged men to go off, they exempt them from war because they're more afraid of the famine after the war than they are of the war. So if you're a farmer, you can stay home. You don't have to go and fight in World War II. Now listen, since the time of Christ, in the first 1,000 years, one per century, then we get to the next 500 years, the 11th through the 15th century, five per century. The next 500 years, we go 15, 20, 25, 30, and 40 per century famines. Are you ready? In just the first 16 years of the 21st century, just the first 16 years, we've already had 71 famines. 71 famines. Currently, we're actually getting a little bit complicated in how we record our statistics. You understand? It's funny. Is it death from starvation, or is it death from malnutrition due to starvation, or is it death from disease due to malnutrition due to starvation? The statistics are starting to come in. Well, who's actually dying of starvation? The guy who dies of hunger or the guy who dies of a disease because he's hungry? You understand? It's getting a little complicated, and the statistics, all of a sudden, they get really scattered. And we're going from anywhere of 2,500 deaths to starvation per day to 25,000 deaths related to starvation from disease or malnutrition per day. So that's a big range, isn't it? 2,500, 25,000. Let's just take the conservative number, those who literally die of just hunger. Forget the malnutrition and the disease that comes from being hungry, just those who die of hunger. Listen, that would be, if that rate continues, well over 100 million people dying of hunger in this century. You see? Off the charts. We've gone from 10,000 to 100,000 to a million for centuries, and then suddenly we come again to that 17th century. Suddenly, 60 million, 85 million, 90 million, 100 million. It's sort of staggering. It's sort of mind-boggling. Let's think about plagues. Before 1500 AD, we have very few records of plagues hitting populations, okay? We have the plagues of Egypt. We've read that before, right? 400 years before Christ, Greece lost 100,000 people due to typhus. That was Greece. In 165 or 180 AD, Europe, Western Asia, and North Africa lost 5 million due to something like we would understand it as being something like smallpox. 5 million people. The plague struck Europe in the 540 to 545 AD. Remember the plague? You've heard of the plague, right? 40% of the population of Europe died in those 5 years. Around 1300, have you guys heard of the Black Plague? Remember the Black Plague? The Black Plague struck Europe and they lost between 75 and 100 million people. But those records are sort of hard to get the numbers straight. Okay, some of the recording is not real reliable. But as we come to the last 500 years, what starts happening? Exploration and travel. You understand? So watch. In the 16th century, we have a record of 4 regional outbreaks that included measles, hemorrhagic fever, plague. In the 17th century, what was going on in the 17th century? Exploration, travel, right? We got 20 regional outbreaks. It included cholera, plague, smallpox, yellow fever, and measles. Get to the 18th century, 35 outbreaks. Smallpox, plague, measles, yellow fever, influenza, dengue fever, and typhus. 19th century, we jump to 50 outbreaks. But something is starting to shift. Of those 50, 3, 4, or 5 of them are worldwide plagues, worldwide outbreaks. We are starting to go like this across the globe. You understand? It becomes a worldwide plague. This included the influenza and the bubonic plague, spread worldwide, spreading to every continent, killing tens of millions of people. Now we come to the 20th century, and we have the advancement of inoculations. How many of you like inoculations? Right? They're the little things now, right? Right? It's okay. You go in, I'm like, okay, guys, this might pinch a little bit, this might hurt a little bit, and they're like, that didn't hurt, Dad, what's your problem, you know? Inoculations have changed. Between Joanne and I, she's older than I am, much older. Between her birthdate and my birthdate, they stopped smallpox. So she has that little scar on her arm. I don't. Inoculations are great. Now, because of vaccinations, the outbreaks of plagues have dipped. But you have to understand, when there is not a vaccination for a particular plague, the death rates skyrocket. So we hit the 20th century and we see a dip in the number of plagues, but we see a skyrocketing of death to the ones that we have. It's kind of crazy. For example, the famine and malnutrition of World War I brought about vulnerability to disease. 1918, what hit? Right after World War I. Influenza. Influenza hit. And it spread through Europe, Canada, and the U.S., and it claimed more lives. Listen, more lives than the battle did. More lives from influenza than from World War I. Are you ready? We lost 20 to 25 million people in World War I, 75 million people died of influenza in 1918. Can you believe this? 3 times as many people died from influenza. Plus, the century rounds off with the advent, the spread of new diseases like AIDS. Never heard of before. Ebola. Do you understand? So, the last 500 years, we go from 5 to 20, to 35, to 50, and then we hit the 20th century, and disease starts spreading rapidly. And it's going from that end of the world to the other end of the world as people are traveling more and more. Are you ready? In the first 16 years of this century, the first 16 years of this century alone, we've already had 50 regional plagues. 50. And of those 50, 5 of them spread worldwide. That's more in 16 years than we had in the last century. Now think about this. We're talking about Mideast respiratory virus, hand, foot, and mouth disease. Some of you have foot and mouth disease. This is hand, foot, and mouth disease. Hepatitis, measles, dengue fever, yellow fever, swine flu, cholera, bubonic plague, Ebola. And what kept the World Health Organization up from sleeping last night? Zika, just starting. What terrifies them? The Olympics. Where it's localized and the world is coming. They're terrified of this little virus. It's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about my favorite one, earthquakes. Earthquakes have always been recorded. People have always recorded. Before the time of Christ, the number of earthquakes and the magnitudes have only been estimates, though, haven't they? Historians haven't been able to tell how big it was. They could only sort of measure its impact by the death rate. When I was a kid, my dad and I were watching the Cubs lose again. And we're sitting there. Do you remember the old rabbit ears that you had on your TV? Those are things like aerials before we had cable. Yeah. They had these big rabbit ears, right? And you would adjust. I was my father's remote control. Ryan, go turn the channel. And I'd stand there. Not that one. Turn it again. We only had five channels, but he was standing there. And then adjust the aerials, right? We're sitting here watching the Cubs. Harry Carey's on the radio, on the TV. And you hear tap, 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 tap. And we're wondering, what is the tapping? And it was one of those rabbit ears starting to hit the wall. It's going tap, 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 tap. And then the pictures on the wall start going bump, 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 you know? And I'm looking at him and I said, what is that, Dad? And he's like, oh, it's probably a truck going down Elston Avenue, you know. Like, okay. Well, just a few minutes later, Harry Carey comes on and says, well, we've gotten a report that the Madridian fault line has had a little rumble, and we felt it all the way up into Wisconsin somewhere. You know, the earthquakes, Joanna's mom was in Peru, and they had an earthquake. And she remembers standing up against the wall and watching the washer and dryer go all the way across the room, back and forth. Have you guys seen the videos of these earthquakes in stores where the shelves come crashing, the lights are swinging? It's just an amazing thing. You have no control over that. Nothing you can do. Nothing. Powerful, powerful. We have a problem with the recording of them because people couldn't give us the magnitudes. So before the year 1000 A.D., historians have recorded 15. Okay, that's what they've got. 15 major earthquakes. 15 earthquakes that had some devastation on cultural populations. We get to the, so that's 1.5, right? 1.5 per century. We get to the 11th century, 3. 12th century, 4. 13th, 14th, and 5th century, 5 each century. 16th century, 6. So we're seeing this mild increase as we're coming up. One of those six in the 16th century was the worst earthquake that China has ever had recorded to this day. As they look back at the level of devastation, they think it was probably like 8.2, 8.3 earthquake. 880,000 people died in one moment because of that earthquake. That's in the 16th century. Again, in the 17th century, here we go again. We jump to 5. From 5 to 15. All of a sudden that 17th century hits and we go from 2, 3, 4, 5, bam, to 15. Okay? 18th century, 25, 19th century, 50 major earthquakes. When we come to the 20th century, we have the development of the Richter scale, right? The seismologist. Say it again. Seismometer. Right, seismograph, what she says. Okay? We have this invention that lets us test and measure the shaking, the force that's being caused. So we're going to take everything from before the 1900s, and we're going to chalk it up to cultural recording, but not quite reliable. We don't really know what was going on, but we're going to start with the 1900s, okay? We're only going to talk about those earthquakes that are 6.0 or greater, 6.0. 1901 to 1910, we have 20 recorded, 6.0 or greater. And it continues that way, 20s, 30s, 40s. Hit the 1950s, and we bump to 30, and then 40. Okay, in 1991 to 2000, how many of you were alive in that decade? 1991, most of you, okay, I don't know, you know. Bob, we're not sure you're here now, you know. Okay. In 1991 to 2000, we jump to 45. 45 major quakes, 6.0 or bigger, measured around the world. Now, please, just acknowledge that between December 31st, 2000, and January 1st, 2001, not a lot has changed in our ability to measure, right? They're still measuring the same way they've measured. You understand? Not much has changed. You ready? 1991 to 2000, 45. In the last, from 2001 to 2010, the last decade that we had full decade, 260. The same measuring devices by the same organizations, 1990s, 45. The first decade of this century, 260. That's a huge jump. That's a huge jump. In the last 5 years, we have a half a decade here, we have 125. Already, 125. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates that several million earthquakes of varying sizes occur around the world each year. The increase in the number of earthquakes is so dramatic, so time-consuming for those who record the data, that the USGS National Earthquake Information Center decided in 2009 to discontinue recording earthquakes that were 4.5 or less. We don't have time, they're saying. There's too much information coming in. If it causes a death, we'll write it down. If it's 4.5 or less. Can you imagine that? The U.S. Geological Survey now locates about 50 earthquakes every day, 4.5 or greater. That's 20,000 a year, 4.5 or greater. I want to quote a seismologist at Scripps Research Center in La Jolla, California. Listen to his quote. It is almost as though the Earth's plates are gyrating in anticipation of the world's greatest earthquake. It's a seismologist. Here in the United States, in a secular society, in a secular field, saying, something's up, something's coming, okay? This gentleman's scientific understanding of what he sees is terrifying. Scares him. Scares me a little bit. He has no idea of the prophetic accuracy of his statement. Okay? Listen. Revelation 16 tells us not of the Braxton Hicks contractions. It doesn't tell us of the contractions that are, 2 minutes apart, it's time to go to the hospital. But rather, these two chapters tell us of the contractions that say, push! The doctor yelled, push! You understand? I looked and behold an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and plague or pestilence, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Wild beasts, isn't that interesting? Read the news lately? There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart in a scroll, like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And there were flashes of lightning and the sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. Seismologist. Such as man has never seen. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Cities of the nations fell, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Then the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave, and every free, hid themselves in caves, and among rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So let me conclude with this. I know that the first 5 weeks of this series are a lot of stats. A lot of stats. I'm trying to paint you a picture. I'm trying to show you what is going on historically. So if you're bored, sorry, I'm not. Let me conclude with this. We're so blessed. Look at you sitting here. Vaccines. I just have a nasty one, Vaccines, life-saving medical procedures. This man shouldn't be here. 19 years ago. 21 years ago now. Yeah. Shouldn't be here. Life-saving medical procedures. Supermarkets. Grocery stores, right? You see people from other countries go in our stores. It's like, oh, you know. It's just, it's amazing. Packed with food. Restaurants on every corner. Some of them are even good, you know. $910 worth of pies auctioned off to send a young man from this blessed society to other young men in a society that's not so blessed. Think about where you live. But as your pastor, as your friend, I just want to give you a little piece of advice. Please heed my warning. Just be prepared. You should have some fresh water. You should have a good supply of dried goods in your home. You should have a good supply of first aid necessities. You should have some batteries, some flashlights. Okay? Be prepared. And this is not your crazy conservative pastor that gets whacked out every once in a while. I'm telling you this. This is the United States of America, the state of Illinois. Have you seen the state of Illinois commercials? This is the city of Chicago. Do you understand that this church receives information from the city of Chicago saying you should have this, you should have this, you should have this? You understand? Be prepared. This is your government telling you, hey, seismologist in La Jolla says something's up. You know, be prepared. Think about the tornadoes. Think about, look what happened to Louisiana. Look what happened to New Jersey. Look what happened to Plainfield. Just be prepared. Just prepare yourself, okay? Not because we're going to see the push. I really don't think we're going to see the push events of Earth. I think we're going to see, we've been seeing the Braxton Hicks. I think that we're in the intense labor. I think we're in the two-minute contraction part of this. Time to go, right? Time to go. By now, you should be able to understand that something dramatic happened in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, especially the 20th century. There was a sharp, drastic increase in the contractions. There was a sharp, drastic increase in these birth pains. Everything that Jesus said, this will be a sign, has increased dramatically. 17th, 10, 18th, 20, 19th, 30, 20th, 50, and here we are, off the charts. Okay? I'm going to keep asking you this question because most of us were born into this, weren't we? We are a frog, I'll give you it, we're a frog in a pot. Is this environment so familiar to you? False Christs, false teachers, false prophets, war, ideological war, world engulfing war, famines, commercials, feed the children all over the place, plague. No, we can't bring them here. If they come here, we got to have them in vacuum-packed airline and vacuum-packed ambulances. Earthquakes. Is this so familiar to you that you are unaware of the waters rolling boil? It's the first 5 weeks of this series. I want you to start becoming aware. Because if you're not aware of this, then what I say in the next 5 weeks won't matter. The really exciting stuff won't matter if you're not aware of this. A little later in Matthew 24, Jesus says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves. Is that when the fruit's there, by the way? No, that's just the beginning. Puts its leaves out. Puts forth its leaves. You know that summer is near. So, he says, you too, when you see these things, are you looking? Are your eyes open, or have you dulled your senses to them? When you see these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door.